want to turn to look at several portions of the book of Acts this morning. We just sang Seeking the Lost Ones and also Bringing the Weary. And again, I hope it is your desire to reach someone for the cause of Christ and impact someone's life. And that was the motivation of the Apostle Paul and of the Apostles of the New Testament. They had a desire to fulfill the Great Commission, the commission to all of us to go into the world and reach the gospel or preach the gospel to every creature. As Christians, we are called to be His witnesses and go into Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost after reaching our Jerusalem. Our Jerusalem would be the area here in which we live, Denver, Ephrata, Stevens, Reinhold, Schenick. That would be our Jerusalem, and then upon reaching our Jerusalem, we go out a little bit further and reach those who won't make that driving distance into here and try to impact them for the cause of Christ if there isn't already a gospel-preaching established church there. And then unto the uttermost, we are sending missionaries around the world to try to reach the gospel or try to preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, trying to reach souls for the cause of Christ. So we are witnesses. And so as the New Testament gets established here and going forward, this New Testament church, Jerusalem, they kind of got stuck. They weren't going outside of their Jerusalem, reaching to Judea and Samaria. So persecution had to come. As the persecution came, some of the men and women would move beyond that of Jerusalem and begin to take the gospel to other parts of the world. The first known Gentile church was the church of Antioch, found here in Acts chapter 13. But what's interesting is once the gospel got there, it didn't end there. As we have missionaries going around the world, and as we heard from Brother Magner this morning, going to Mexico City, as they get to Mexico City, it's not like they're at the end of the line. Wherever you are in having a church, you're now at the new beginning. You're now, they need to reach their Jerusalem. They need to try to reach their Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost. They're going to ultimately, Lord willing, send missionaries into other parts of the world. You say, why would they be sending missionaries? They need missionaries. Well, that God would so stir their hearts that people would go from there into other parts of the world as well. And so we have to understand that the whole emphasis of the gospel and the whole emphasis of the Great Commission is trying to reach people for the cause of Christ so that they might reach others for the cause of Christ. I'm beginning this morning a series on the book of 1 Thessalonians. You might find it odd that then I'm preaching from Acts chapter 17, but that's when the gospel ultimately came there. You're in Acts 13, don't need to change from there. But ultimately the gospel came to Thessalonica in Acts chapter 17, and I wanted to show you when the gospel first reached their community. This is the idea of the message this morning. I want you to understand that it is our duty to reach the world with the gospel. Then what opportunities we can have individually to be involved in that mission. Every one of us as Christians ought to be seeking for a way that we can be involved in spreading the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to our community and around the world. And so today, I want to talk to you about that, taking the gospel to your town. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Your Father, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What an important message. What an important service for us to first of all understand how the gospel got to the people of Thessalonica. But then beyond that, how the gospel got into so many other communities because of that one small church that was established. And I pray that ultimately you would burden us to be involved in the spreading of the gospel around the world. And that we would each find a way that we could be involved in sharing the gospel, whether in the form of a tract or some type of an invitation or even engaged in conversations with people. So, Father, help us to see how it was done and then help us to have somewhat of a vision of how we could do it as well. Guide us in the time that we'll spend together this morning in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as the gospel got to the church of Antioch in Acts chapter 13, Paul, Silas, Barnabas, and others were part of that work. And the Lord, that is taught to us in Acts 13. And then it says, as they ministered, verse number 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. So I want us to understand, the Holy Spirit then moves people from a fellowship of believers to leave that fellowship of believers. And why would you leave that? Because there's something more important to do, and that's take the gospel somewhere else that doesn't have an established church there. And so men like Paul, or called Saul here, and men like Barnabas, Silas, and others would actually leave the church that they are in and go to communities to preach there the gospel. And so this is how the Holy Spirit works. He separates, He takes from the church some of the seeds, so to speak, to plant in a new community. And so it says there in verse number 3, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent by the Holy Ghost, so not only being sent by the Holy Ghost, but being sent by the church, these men go, and according to verse number 5, they go and preach the Word of God, and they're going to go into the synagogue of the Jews. With that in mind, turn with me out of the 17th chapter. The rest of the message, one point's going to come from chapter 17, one point's going to come from chapter 20, because I want us to understand how the gospel got to the people of Thessalonica. And that's the book we're going to begin to investigate and look more closely at next Sunday morning. So we want to talk about, first of all, about sharing your faith with your community. Paul was saved in Acts chapter 9 on the road to Damascus, struck down by a light that the Lord had sent. And then, of course, the Lord engaged with him in conversation. His tremendous salvation story is there. You can read it later. The Lord also made it known unto Paul that He wanted him to take on this course of preaching the gospel, and that the Lord was going to use Paul. And so Paul seen himself like on a course that the Lord had designed for him. Now, unlike a marathon, Pastor Seth mentioned earlier, I actually ran a half marathon a couple of years ago, and this week finding my way over Raymond Goods from Shady Maple, we actually drove part of that half marathon that I ran. I could remember well running up that one hill. It was a lot easier to drive up it, I can tell you that. But that was the course. And in fact, in that marathon that I had run a couple years ago, the guy that was in first place when coming back, we came in one direction, but then as we got to that intersection where to turn left going back, he didn't remember that and ran straight through and ran the wrong way home. Still got back, I think, in third place, but ran a lot longer than everyone else. But was disqualified because he didn't take the right course. Well, you know, God has a course for every one of us, but all of our courses aren't the same. God is going to use different ones in different ways. Well, Paul, the Lord had used him to have three missionary journeys. Now, for the Magners that are going to Mexico City, if they were to be a missionary like Paul, we would kind of maybe be taken back. We might hear that they're in Mexico City, and 3 months later, Brother Josh emailed me, hey, now we're now in Juarez. We're going to be there for a couple of months. And then a couple of months from there, I find out they're somewhere else in Mexico. We would say, what are you doing? We sent you as missionaries in Mexico City to reach the people there. You're telling us about the millions of people there. But Paul was a different type missionary. Can you imagine being a missionary going and having no idea what you might face there? In fact, that's part of the discussion that was going on here in the book of Acts. He says, we don't know anything. We don't know what's going to be happening in the next city. The only thing we know, the Holy Spirit is going to be there. And thankful for the Holy Spirit, but they didn't know the people. They didn't know the culture. They were going from community to community and just sharing the gospel for the very first time. Paul was what we would call a pioneer missionary. One who's taking the gospel for the very first time to these communities and allowing them to hear about what Jesus Christ had done for them on the cross of Calvary. So Paul, on the second missionary journey, finds himself in a community called Thessalonica. And let's begin to look at how he presented to them the gospel. and see if we can learn anything from that that would help us in the presentation of the gospel. Look here, beginning in verse number 1 of Acts chapter 17. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica. So these are some of the towns that they are visiting on this missionary journey. And some of them they stayed for a couple of weeks. Some of them they stayed for several months. Ephesus, when they got there, they had actually stayed for approximately 3 years, a little over 3 years. Then they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. I had taught on this a couple months ago, I think it was, in Sunday school, the importance of a synagogue in how the gospel was presented in the early church. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ was using the synagogues to teach. And the Apostle Paul would go into a synagogue. Now, a synagogue was not a place like this for worshiping Christians. A synagogue was a place for Jewish people to come and to study Judaism. And they would be discussing the Old Testament. They would be discussing the sacrificial system. That was what they would do in a synagogue. So here he's meeting with Jewish people. Now, Paul, if you know anything about Paul, Paul had a burden for Jewish people. You talk about that in Romans 9 and 10 because that was his people. He was known as an apostle to the Gentiles. So it was fitting he was in Antioch and being used there and going into the uttermost. But Paul was Jewish by birth, and Paul had a tremendous burden for the Jewish people. So he would go to the synagogues and there begin to present. So if Paul got to a new town, he'd be asking, where's the synagogue? Because as a Jew by nature, as a Jew by birth, he wanted to get there and he wanted to present to them the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So look here in verse number 2. And Paul, as his manner was, do you remember reading in Luke 4? The Lord, as his custom was, went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Same word. Here it says manner is. There it was custom. But same idea, exact same word. He went in unto them and 3 days reasoned with them. Three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. So think about this. Sabbath is what day of the week? That's a Saturday. So they would worship on a Saturday. And I could talk about the differences and why, but we don't have time in this message. They would meet together on a Saturday and they would go through the reading of the Torah. And they would read the Old Testament. A man would sit down and begin to teach them out of the Old Testament. So Paul, for 3 weeks after getting there, would begin to reason with them out of the Scriptures. It would mention that again 2 other times later on in Acts 17. It mentioned that again in Acts chapter 18, that he would persuade them, both the Jews and the Greeks. So you would find by the time Paul was coming here ministering the word, there weren't just Jewish people there. Greeks began to gather around and to hear this message that Paul was preaching. And Paul would begin to preach with such power and with such authority that the Greeks would actually say, hey, could you come back next week and just talk to us about the gospel? All that you can find in reading God's word. You can find it in other passages of Scripture. But there, here is Paul. He is preaching. But I love the word here. He reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. Now, you think about somebody. Would you reason with me a little bit? Someone might say something. Or let's reason together. Well, the word reason here is a wonderful word. It has the opportunity to discuss back and forth. It has the opportunity to enter into a discussion where you just kind of talk back and forth. And so Paul, as he would go there, it wasn't like he was getting up like I am and just preaching what he was laid on his heart and just sharing some polished message that he had. No, what Paul was doing is entering in, beginning to teach on Jesus Christ being the Messiah, but they were taken back by that. Many of them didn't believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. Many of them just believed he was Jesus, not Christ. And so he would begin to reason with them, meaning he allowed them to discuss and he allowed them to ask questions and he would take them further in their understanding of who Jesus Christ was. And so he's reasoning with them out of the Scriptures. So what's he using? He's actually using the Old Testament. He's using the Old Testament to prove to them that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. So he's reasoning with them, and then look here in verse number 3, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, look, is Christ. This is the Messiah. So here is Paul, and the Scripture says he's opening and alleging. Well, the word open has this idea of open for the first time. Have you ever maybe gotten a jar off the shelf and you couldn't open it because it was the lid was so tight, the lid was sealed, and maybe you get one of those fancy things that they have and you kind of grip it, or maybe you have one of those lids off from Black & Decker and you just press that down, it takes the lid off for you, whatever you have, but it's really hard to open. Well, here the idea is, this is something being opened for the first time. I'm not sure what's being opened. There's two possibilities. One is their heart. For the very first time, he's trying to open their heart to this idea that Jesus is the Christ. The other opportunity is it's this. Remember, this is Thessalonica. They didn't have a preacher there before. This is the very first time someone's opening the Scriptures to them in this way. And the word alleging means, and he's just laying it down next to them. Now, he's going to say this in Acts 18:4, that he's persuading them. So I don't see Paul as just passive in this discussion that's going on. I think he's passionate. But here is Paul, and he's just taking the Scriptures, and he's just laying the Scriptures down before them and trying to show them and persuade them that Jesus is the Christ who died on the cross for their sin. That's a good bit of discussion. I just ran off probably 7 minutes. But let me ask you, when is the last time you ever took the Scriptures and tried to help someone to see and understand who Jesus Christ is? I mean, we proclaim we're His people, right? Now, I understand, as I speak here this morning, I'm not believing that everyone coming in, and I have no idea to know how or who, but I am not necessarily believing everybody sitting here is a born-again Christian. So I want us to all understand that Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of the world, the Scripture says, and whosoever will, let him come. And what does that mean? Whosoever desires, knowing that Jesus Christ died for your sins, whosoever desires to trust in Jesus Christ for salvation, let him come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. So the gospel, the good news, is that Jesus Christ died for the world. We have the opportunity to share, to trust Jesus Christ as Savior and become one of His children. Now, the question I have for you, those of you who are His children, you're now His ambassadors. When's the last time that you took the Scriptures and you just sat down with someone and you tried to help show them who Jesus Christ is and how they can enter into a personal relationship? I think this is done far too few times by we as children. I think there's far too few that are actually really engaging with people in conversations about knowing the Lord. I want you to see how Paul did it, and I think it's a great way to do it. Just lay the Scriptures down before them. Allow them to answer questions. You say, I don't want them to answer questions or ask questions. They might ask me something I can't answer. Well, that happens. You call Pastor Seth up. He knows everything about the Scriptures. And he will be eloquent on how you could answer them the next time you get together. You know what? Being asked a question you don't know, understand the meaning for just gives you means you got to grow some more. It gives you opportunity to grow. It happens to me. It's going to happen to you. But again, dear friend, as Christians, how we take the gospel and how we share our faith is merely by allowing people to just see from the scriptures, is this how you can become a child of God? And so we take the scriptures and present it to them. Now, again, this is going to unfold in a beautiful manner. But you're going to see, look at this wonderful truth in verse 4. And some of them believe, but look at this very sad truth in verse number 5. But the Jews, which believe not, they were moved with envy. In fact, if you look at the end of verse number, or about the middle of verse number 5, they set all the city in an uproar. Do you understand this? When you present the gospel, not everyone's going to believe. Not everyone's going to trust. But we ought to allow each one to make that decision instead of presenting or making the decision for them. I hope as a Christian you would begin to see, you know what, it's part of my responsibility to help make sure that our community has an opportunity to believe in Jesus Christ. And the Lord's going to allow you to meet people that I'll never meet in my lifetime. So it's not just up to the pastors. It's not just up to the leadership. It's up to all of us. Your neighbor is different than my neighbor. Where you work, if you're in the workforce, is different from where I work. We have an opportunity to present the gospel in various and different places in each other. Some of you live in a different community. Some of you are in Denver. Some of you are in Ephrata. Some of you are in Stevens. And again, we are living in different areas. And the Lord wants every one of us to be involved in sharing the gospel. Now, it might be too much for you. Maybe you're younger in Christ, or maybe you're just never been felt comfortable with sharing the gospel. We have tracts out there. We have invitation cards out there. You have the opportunity to just hand someone something that they can read on their own and encourage them to read it. Again, I believe we can often get someone's attention that way. Coming up in a couple of weeks, we're going to have a breakfast and a visitation morning on a Saturday. And the opportunity to come and enjoy some breakfast and fellowship together. And then we go out as a group of people. And some of you will just hang bags of information on a doorknob and you move to the next door and hang some information there. And we don't really engage with anyone. And others are going to say, you know what, I'd really like to engage with someone. And we'll give you one of the new move-ins and a packet to go to them. And you go knock on someone's door and welcome them to the area and say, hey, I don't know if you have a church yet, but we'd like to invite you to our church. Again, as Paul went into a new area, he shared the gospel by simply presenting it before them. But I want you to see something else. I want you to see what Paul says to others in chapter 20. Would you turn over there with me? We need to share our faith with our community, something as Brother Magner mentioned in Sunday school I've been burdened with and speaking a lot about. But sharing your faith has to do with surrendering your life. And I think Paul describes and discusses this very well with actually a group of other elders, which would mean other preachers of the gospel. He's going to call for some elders who were in Miletus. He's going to call them to Ephesus, and he's going to discuss with them. He's going to open his heart to them. In fact, plead with them to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood, ending in verse 28 there. But I don't want to go that far in this discussion. So Paul's going to work his way through showing and talking about this surrender of one's life to sharing the gospel. And I think this would be good for all of us to see. Let's look beginning in verse number 18. And when they were come to him, that's the elders coming to Paul, he said unto them, ye know, from the very first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. You know, Paul says, yeah, we're going to look at this next week as we get into the book of 1 Thessalonians. Paul lived uniquely, carefully, because he didn't want his life to take away from his message, which was Jesus Christ. And so as Paul went in as a messenger of Jesus Christ into a new city, he tried to live very carefully because he wanted all the focus and attention to go on who Jesus Christ was. He said, we're serving the Lord with humility of mind and many tears. And so Paul, with a brokenness, a humble spirit, a brokenness for souls, he went in with many tears. And look what he says in verse number 20, and kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and taught you. And so this is Paul mentoring. Think again about what he's doing. He's talking to elders, and he said, do you remember the day when I came into your area and how I live carefully, and then how I showed you and I taught you, and I did this publicly and house to house? Now, I've talked about this recently, and you'll hear it again from me in the future, that's for sure. If the only thing Mount Zion Baptist Church had was a pulpit and an auditorium, we could reach some people for the cause of Christ. We could stir enough interest that someone would say, we ought to go over to that old KOA campground and see that church that's there that has it now. And, I see they're doing a building project. And did you notice that at all when you came in today? Did you notice any mud? We noticed that, didn't you? So, we would stir up some interest, but you know what? We're not Israel. Israel, he raised up as an enzyme or a banner that would cause to draw people in and get their attention and draw people in. But the church, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. He doesn't want us to just sit here with our shoes polished and nice chandeliers and get other people's attention and say, we ought to go there. It looks like all the rich people go there. No, he wants us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So Paul says, as we're ministering, we're doing this both publicly and house to house. Part of the ministry is publicly, like this. We're preaching the gospel. Or like in a few weeks when we don the orange shirts and go into a building and we prepare a dinner for them and we bring gifts to give them and we invite them in and engage in conversation and say, hey, come to our sportsman's dinner. Again, this is something we could all get involved in, male and female, younger and older. We can all get involved in a sportsman's dinner. And you say, well, I'm not really big into hunting or fishing. How about souls? Because it's really more about souls than it is hunting and fishing. And again, the opportunity, there are going to be some that will never come in this building, but would come to a sportsman's dinner. And we have the opportunity to engage and connect with them and share the gospel. Maybe one day, finally get them to walk into this building where they hear the gospel or become members like we have some joining the church tonight. Because this is what it's all about. It takes a life, though, surrendered to this. Paul says, I've surrendered my life to this. I want to share the gospel. I want to go out and do it publicly. I want to do it house to house. And that's why we have the visitation. He goes on. Let's look at this. Testifying both to Jews and to the Greeks. Look at verse number 24. But none of these things move me. And this is in the passage of Scripture. You know, the Magners have kind of cheated. I just want you to know. They know all about Mexico City. You've studied it, haven't you? You know about the population. You know all kinds of things about Mexico City. Paul didn't take that advantage. Paul would go into a city having no idea, but this is a passage of Scripture. He said, the only thing I know about where I'm going is the Holy Spirit's already there. And the Holy Spirit's going to work in lives as we preach the gospel. And so Paul says, but that doesn't move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. The ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify. Wow, this verse is so full of truths. It'd be easy to preach a half hour sermon just from this verse. Verse 25. Say, Keith, what does it mean to count my life dear unto myself? Sometimes we value what we have going on so highly we don't have time for what God has going on. Sometimes our plans and our ambitions are more important than what God wants to do in our lives. Paul says, I don't want to live my life that way so that I can finish my course with joy. Do you remember the song, I Wish I Would Have Given Him More? I just wonder how many of us at the end of our lives and looking back and just say, wow, I wish I would have spent more time witnessing for the Lord. I wish I would have spent more time serving the Lord. I wish I would have spent more time mentoring people for the cause of Christ. We had some people go out this past week into a local community here. We're trying to reach a local community for the cause of Christ. We haven't had any engaged activities for them for a couple months. 13 young people came out to that from that community. Praise the Lord. And these aren't church kids that are going somewhere else on Sunday morning and say, oh, I'm looking forward to hearing another Bible study. By and large, I don't think these children go to church. And here we are having the opportunity to share the gospel and engage and become friends with these young people so that we can talk to them about Jesus Christ. And some are going to say, you know what, I was really tired, I was exhausted, but wow, it was worth it all. The opportunities we had to share the gospel. And he goes on to say, he says, this is the course with joy and the ministry which I have received. So this is directed by God. Again, I just plead with you, dear friend. Ask God to put someone in your life that you can bring to Christ. Ask God to put someone in your life that you can influence and get closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what Paul says. What is it? Verse 26. After saying in verse 25, I don't think I'll ever get to see you again. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all. What is Paul saying? You know, some people, as they are cast into the lake of fire, I believe are going to be thinking, what can you ever tell me? Is there a co-worker? Is there a relative? Is there a neighbor that's on their way to hell? And we're not saying anything. The Lord really recently burdened me for one within my realm of life. I've begun to pray. And I'm already looking forward to that opportunity to engage with that person about what their relationship with God looks like. Dear friends, we have one life to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. This gospel came by the Apostle Paul to Thessalonica. And it ended up exploding. All the church started small. Many of them actually rejected him in the beginning. The church started small, but it began to reach Macedonia and Achaia with a wave of the gospel. I thought, you know, what would it be like to reach one person who ends up reaching a lot more people than we ever reached? Wouldn't that be great joy? Just to reach one and then see them to go on and share the gospel. Maybe they'll become a preacher. Maybe they'll become a missionary. Dear friend, we need to be taking the gospel to our town. And if it's the church's responsibility to do that, what makes this a church? And what makes up the church? Made up of people, Christians. So it's our responsibility to take the message to our community. That takes a life willing to be sacrificed. Let's pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to talk to Christians first. Has there ever been that time that you actually sat down with someone and took the gospel, took the scripture, and showed them how they can be saved? Or has there ever been that time that you've taken a tract and said, "Hey, would you please read this?" Or maybe a church invitation card, say, "Hey, this is a church I go to. Would you come visit it sometime?" Are we loving our life and the way we're living it? Or are we with joy on the course that God has set for us? Do you feel like you're on course or off course? Who would say, as a Christian this morning, with heads bowed, eyes closed, who would say, "Keith, would you pray for me? I feel like I'm off course. I don't feel like I'm effectively trying to help reach people for the cause of Christianity, for the cause of Jesus Christ. Would you pray for me?" Just with an uplifted hand, you say, "I'm a Christian, but I really don't believe I'm doing effectively what I ought to be doing. Would you please pray?" Just with an uplifted hand right now, just whoever would like to. Dear Father, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some have raised their hand this morning. Some have recognized they don't believe they are effectively trying to witness for Jesus Christ. Now the rest either are or aren't caring that they're not. And Father, you need to deal with hearts accordingly. But Father, may you stir our hearts to be effective witnesses for Jesus Christ. With heads continued bowed. Who would say, "Keith, as you preached this morning, you mentioned about the gospel, you mentioned about trusting in Jesus Christ and salvation, but I don't think there's ever been a time that I've done that. And I'm just going to raise my hand. Please don't embarrass me, but would you pray for me? I'm not sure I'm a Christian." Just with a raised hand, you're just saying, "Preacher, would you pray for me anonymously? Because I'm concerned about my soul." Anyone at all, just with an upraised hand. Dear Father, you have seen what's going on in the auditorium with our hearts. You know what hearts are longing and seeking for more. Father, if we don't do it, who then will? Father, I'm just asking you to help every one of us to get a burden for someone. Either that is lost or someone who's just not faithful and struggling in their Christian faith, or someone we know that has never been discipled, or someone we know that doesn't have a church, or whatever it may be. Oh Lord, would you help us? Help us for the cause of Christ, not for who we are, not to make us a bigger church, not to try to make us a better church. This is what we ought to be about, is trying to reach this world with the gospel. Would you please stand to your feet? Again, if you would, bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm just going to ask Christy to play through a song of invitation. This is a song where God can...